Alexa, how did Donald Trump become president?
Sorry, I don't know that.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I don't know what essential oils are. I think they're oils that are very important. They give it such an important thing. And these are these aroma oils, you know, lavender and all those things. But they call them essential oils. Like, I can't live without them. It's brilliant marketing. Instead of just calling it, like, aroma oils, it's essential. You must have these oils. Without them, you will surely perish. Remember Shirley Parrish? I dated her in high school. Nothing much to talk about. Until I bought these oils, I did not know that they were essential. But it did say it on the bottle, these are essential oils, you must have them. So I bought some of them, and I stuck them into my diffuser. That sounded wrong. And they gave off a somewhat pleasant odor, somewhat pleasant. A little bit nicer than a bad fart. And then I realized these oils aren't really all that essential. So I'm going to sue them for false advertising. The next day, I threw the essential oils out, and I got a knock at the door, and it was the ICE people, the people that are supposed to be arresting immigrants. And I said, oh my God, I'm a citizen. I was born in this country. And they said, no. You just threw out essential oils. You can't do that. I said, but I thought you're ICE. I didn't think you walked around telling people not to throw out their essential oils. They said, well, business is slow these days. And we're also arresting people that take the tags off their pillows. So, looks like there's nothing going on here. Have a good day, sir. That's a sad part of my life. Anybody that comes into my home would probably turn around and say, well, looks like nothing's happening here. Have a good day, sir. No, there's nothing happening here. I think that's my goal in life, though, to have nothing happen here. I really do. I mean, some people, they want to climb mountains. They want to hang glide. They got to have hangnails. They want to, like, test their adrenaline to see how many adventures they can undertake without peeing their pants. I mean, they just do everything they can to test themselves, throw themselves against the wall and see if they stick. Me, I'm the opposite. If I can get through life just like without too much stuff going on, I would have considered that to be a hurdle-free existence. I'm not going to start doing things, risking breaking my legs like skiing. Are you serious? That's so funny. It's so funny you would even think that I would ski. You're crazy. Skiing? Are you serious? What is this skiing thing? We ski on snow? We do water skiing. What the hell's wrong with you? Anyway, whatever. Climbing mountains. Seriously? Mountains were put up there to get in the way of you, not for you to scale them. That's a hint. Go around it. Go around the mountain. Don't go over it, you idiot. That's why they're there. You're not supposed to climb them. But that's what we do. We find the strangest things of all to do. When I was growing up, I was reading about this guy that put himself in a wooden barrel and hurled himself over Niagara Falls. And he plummeted to the Niagara River and he survived. And instead of people congratulating him, when they opened up the barrel and found that he was alive, they said, "My God, you're the biggest schmuck I've ever met in my life." This Nick Wallenda guy, are you familiar with him? The flying Wallendas. First of all, people don't fly. You're kind of starting with a bad proposition here. This Wallenda guy comes from a family of trapeze artists. Somehow he turns this into a daredevil thing, and he does daredevil high wire acts in places you should not be doing it. He does it across mountains, over the Grand Canyon. He does it between skyscrapers. He's just flaked. Most of us, we wake up in the morning, we brush our teeth, sit in a cubicle, go home, have dinner, go to bed. If you can manage a little bit of sex, maybe once or twice a week, you're fortunate. This Wallenda guy wakes up in the morning and says, "Let's see, what can I do to straddle my acrobat high wire? Let's go to the Grand Canyon and I'll walk across the Grand Canyon on a wire. How about that, huh? Then we'll go out to dinner. Then we'll pick up the kids, take them to soccer." Nick Wallenda, what's wrong with you? You're not supposed to be doing that stuff. There's a mental condition involved. There really is. Like there is to be president of the United States. Oh my God, you have to be mentally off. You do. You have to be mentally off. Half the country is going to love you. Half the country is going to hate you. We've turned into, this is, you know what's going on in this country right now? A civil war. Yeah. And it's here's what the civil war is. It's Republicans against Democrats. Yeah, I'd say that's pretty accurate. But here's what it really is. It's the people in this country who want to make America white again, and the people that want to keep it multicultural and excitingly vibrant. I'm serious, man. That's the underlying wave of civil war in this country, where Caucasianly white people do not like seeing people that don't look like them become so prominent in this country. It bothers the hell out of them. It scares the crap out of them. Oh my God, this white country is turning into something other than that. Oh my God, say these people, when I turn on a TV, I see people of different colored skin on it. They're infiltrating everything. I personally thought we were over that decades and decades and decades and decades ago. But when you get a guy in the White House who promotes this civil war thing, it becomes quite dangerous. And I truly believe that Donald J. W. R., whatever the middle niches may be, Trump, purely is getting off on being a rebel rouser to make America white again. I believe it to be true. Everything he says, every racist comment he makes, every dictatorial attitude that he takes, all points to that direction. The man, perhaps not knowingly, because he is like incredibly stupid, is actually dividing this country in a horrible, horrible manner. And my fear is that united we stand, divided we fall. Here's a cheerleader for division. I think he should be removed immediately. I really do. Made some incredible racist comments against four Democratic ladies that did not look Caucasian, like Trump thinks he. Funny thing is, Trump isn't even Caucasian. He's orange. That's the funny part. You would think he'd want to infiltrate this country with other orange people. But it, no. He's an amazing. When they created the product called the douchebag, that was originally supposed to be for women in order to clean out their system with this apparatus, it quickly turned into a description of Donald Trump. And what's sticking is a description of Donald Trump. As a matter of fact, you can go to Wikipedia or the dictionary. Remember that? Ron, what's a dictionary? I've never heard of this. I'm a millennial. I don't know what you're talking. All right, fine. Look it up. Type in douchebag. And immediately Trump's picture will come up. That is amazing. Accurate. And amazing. I don't know, man. I don't know. I just don't know. If he only had a brain.
I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain.
If only. Well, that ain't gonna happen. By the way, I have an announcement to make. Last year, we were going to start RonCon, which is a convention that takes place every year in Hartford, Connecticut, where people rent out the Hartford Convention Center. And everybody goes and they dress like me. They put on beards and things like that. They strap on a little pillow to their stomach to show my water weight gain, you know, my bloating. And there are speakers who talk all about me and what it's like to be me. It's really a lot of fun. Thousands and thousands of people gather every year. And I believe, I have nothing to do with it, by the way. I appreciate the honor, but I have nothing to do with it. But I believe there is an announcement about the convention this year.
Hi, this is Gary Feldstetler, and I'm one of the 14 people who regularly listen to the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hey.
I was thinking recently that it's probably about time that we all got together to celebrate our appreciation of Ron Van Dam, and that's why I'm hosting the first ever RonCon next weekend at the Fairview Motel and Asian Massage Parlor Center. This will be a great opportunity for us to talk about what we love about Ron, wear our favorite Ron Van Dam costumes, and hold panel discussions on things like, why are those RMV people so miserable? And why does the waitress always come over when you have food in your mouth? And why do people at the next table have to be talking about their health issues when I'm trying to enjoy an eggplant rollatini? I can neither confirm nor deny the rumors that Ron Van Dam himself will make an appearance at RonCon, but that would be nice, right? So I hope to see you all there next weekend at RonCon. Most of you probably have my phone number already, so if you can't make it, just give me a call. I could probably get the deposit back on the room if this isn't a good idea, but, you know, can't hurt to try. I'm kind of lonely, like you.
Wow. It's embarrassing. Anyway, we have a great guest. What's wrong with me? Why can't I speak today? This has got to be your fault. Do you know anybody like that? It's like Trump, isn't it? Where it's never your fault. It's always their fault. I only did it because of them. I'm only doing this because of you. The world runs off of them, but they never take any responsibility for anything that happens. It's amazing. I remember when Trump was running. Oh, Ron, will you stop talking about this guy? I can't help it. He's consuming my life. Everywhere I look, everywhere I turn, there's his face, his pouty little bitchy face. I can't help it. He's everywhere. I remember when he was running for president. He was just despicable even then. He's at least he's consistent. He's, and I remember him saying something that was absolutely true. And it wasn't the fact that if he shot somebody on Park Avenue in New York, he wouldn't lose any of his followers. That wasn't it. And that turned out to be true as well. That wasn't it. It was this comment. He was brought up this way, and he actually does live this way. He says, never apologize for anything. It's a sign of weakness. You douchebag. Is that somebody that you would want to know? No, you'd stay clear of them. You'd say, oh my God. But you voted him in as president. Never apologize or say you're sorry for anything. It's a sign of weakness. That is so admirable, right? I say that sarcastically, by the way. Man. The state of New York has passed a law that says that Donald Trump's New York State tax returns can indeed be released to the subcommittee in the House, the investigative committee. So finally, within a short period of time, Donald Trump's state tax returns will be revealed, and they're very indicative of everything. Let me explain something to you. Have you ever had a government job? No? Let me tell you what happens. When you have a government job, you have to hand over all kinds of information about yourself, your criminal activities, any lawsuits, anything you've been involved with in that sense, proof of your income, which includes your tax returns. They check everything. They do a Corey report on you. I don't know who Corey is. Corey must be quite busy answering questions like that. They delve deep into your past and your present to make sure that you are above board and the type of quality that they're looking for in the government, not only for top secret reasons, but to vet you as a vet. Thank you for your service. To vet you and make sure that you are completely worthy of the position you're about to undertake. Those are the qualifications, just a few of the qualifications to work for the government. To become president, you have to be of a certain age, which I believe is 12, and you have to be a U.S. citizen. That's it. We don't have to check your background, your credentials, what you do, your medical information, your tax information. Do you have a lien against your house? Were you ever sued? Did you ever get arrested, convicted? Don't have to check any of this whatsoever. You just have to be 12 years old. I think it's 12, maybe it's 13. It's 13 if you're Jewish. And you have to be an American citizen. Wow, I didn't know that. This is how much of a racist Trump is. One of his first public offerings to us was telling us that Barack Obama should not be president because he wasn't born in this country. That's called the birther argument. It's an old one, but it's quite effective. That was Trump's first introduction to us, where we should have said, perhaps this guy is not that universal in his thinking. Perhaps he might be how can we put it tastefully, white supremacist? Yeah. Red flags, man. Do you know what? First of all, do you know what color the red flags are? Do you know what you're supposed to do when you see them? Next time, and I hope there is a next time, try to be a little bit smarter. That's what I say to Republicans. To Democrats, I say try to put a person on the ticket that may work out. Here's the thing that Trump should be concerned about, and this is the bottom line here with this election coming up in 25 years, whatever. Here's what Trump should be concerned about. When Trump won the election, it wasn't because anybody liked him, really. Well, some did. So, of course, his base always does. It wasn't because he was favorable and liked to grope women and touch their pussies and announce it on Entertainment Tonight buses. It wasn't that. It was that Hillary Clinton was in the middle, embroiled in this email scandal, and that most of America disliked her and didn't trust her. America is capable, as was in the 2016 election, America is capable of voting for someone for president in order to make sure the other one doesn't get in. Donald, here's your problem. That's going to repeat itself in 2020. They will vote for anybody but you because of your hatred toward the country and the country's hatred toward yours. It's a perfect marriage of loss for you. That's your problem, Donald. That's your problem. Being voted against. Donald Trump is the only American president, at least in modern times, but I think, without Googling, I think the only one in history that never achieved a favorability rating of over 50%. He has never gone over 50%. He's never come close to 50%. I think 46 was as close as he got, and then quickly people said, oh my God, that was wrong, and he slipped back down to 44 or 38 or 34 at one point. Never got to 50, never came close to 50. He's the only one. And you think you're going to continue to be president? Oh, no. If I were you, see, here's your problem, your other problem, Don. Here's your other problem, Don. May I call you Don? I know you call your opponents far worse than their first name. Here's your problem, Don. As soon as you leave office, which I hope is soon, you better not only pack up your stuff, but you better get ready to bring a few items to the cell with you, because I'm telling you, you won't be president anymore. See, that's another problem in this country. For some reason, we set up the presidency to be a shield from to protect yourself. The president cannot be indicted while he's a sitting president, or if he stands up. Can't be. Not allowed. Can't be arrested. Can't be convicted. But the day you're not president anymore, oh my God, you own airplanes? Get on one and skip the country quickly. Or as you so aptly put it this weekend, get on your plane, Don, and go back to where you came from. Okay, our guest is coming up in just a second, but first, this little interruption in the show's progress, and I swear I'll be back momentarily, really soon.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hi,
Ron.
Hi, Nisa. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Great. Dr. Nisa Goldberg joins us now. She's a medical director of the Joan H. Tisch Center for Women's Health at the NYU Medical Center. She's all over NYU, and she's also on Dr. Radio host. You're all over the place. I'm exhausted just saying what you do. All right. We're talking about aspirin, which is an interesting history. At one point, I remember when I was younger that aspirin was was said to be the miracle drug. They used the word drug back then. And it was good for everything. And then it was just headaches. And now it's like, I think it's a miracle thing again.
Well, it's really confusing. And as a cardiologist, my colleagues and I see aspirin as a very important therapy to prevent a second heart attack or a second ischemic stroke, a stroke caused by a blood clot in people who have already had heart attacks and strokes. Mm-hmm. So it's important for those people, no matter what information they hear, not to be confused or stop their aspirin. Because if they stop their aspirin, they're at high risk of having a recurrent heart attack or stroke.
Now, a lot of people might say, and I think originally aspirin was of the properties where it could cause you stomach problems, the lining of your stomach and all that, and I know aspirin then became quite coated. Is it true that it can cause some damage there?
All medications have side effects.
Uh-huh.
And it's important to realize the risk of having a serious side effect of a serious complication of aspirin occurs less than 1% of the time.
Oh, I'll take my chances there.
So that's good news. I also think people who take aspirin need to be smart.
Mm-hmm.
So your doctor prescribes aspirin, you take your aspirin as prescribed, but avoid taking other things that can hurt your stomach, like other over-the-counter pain relievers that may worsen or increase the risk for some of those side effects.
Okay. Now, my doctor said, Ron, simply because of your age, and I'm not going to disclose what that is, that it's a good idea to take a what they call baby aspirin. Sounds harmless, but I believe it's 81 milligrams. Take it every day. And I thought, okay. I mean, is that what we're talking about? Are we talking about small dose aspirin?
We're talking about generally people who are taking aspirin for secondary prevention, meaning they've had a heart attack or stroke.
Uh-huh.
It's small dose aspirin, unless your doctor has given you a higher dose.
Okay.
We're talking about, Ron, for people who are healthy, who have not had heart attacks, the question is, should you take an aspirin?
Yes.
And the best answer to that is to talk to your doctor.
Uh-huh.
But it's important to have that conversation because some people who are healthy don't need the aspirin, but there are other people who have not yet had a heart attack that may benefit from it. And that's the kind of thing you need to discuss with your doctor.
Okay. So usually if you have like anything other than normal high blood pressure or you're on medication for it, which I believe is like 3/4 of America, I made that number up, but it's probably pretty high. That's where this might come into play originally.
For people who had risk factors but did not yet have a heart attack.
Right, Which, again, is, I mean, let's face it, it could even be the majority of population. I don't know.
Heart disease is the leading cause of death and disability in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And millions of people are living with heart disease in our country and taking aspirin to prevent another procedure or having a recurrent heart attack.
Okay. And it is, and of course you do talk to your doctor, but I mean, the fact that it's a low dose, it kind of sounds like it's not that consequential if you take it on a daily basis.
Well, I think it's really important to talk with your doctor about the dose that's right for you, of aspirin that's right for you.
Yeah.
And the dose range is 81 milligrams to 325 milligrams.
Oh, okay.
And to give the 325 milligrams for people who are having an acute or sudden heart attack.
Yes.
The people that need to go to the emergency. We ask them to to chew an aspirin.
Uh-huh.
That's a different situation than taking the daily aspirin.
Ah. Yeah, let me ask you that question. Chewables, as effective?
Chewables are as effective, but it's really important to talk to your doctor about the aspirin preparation that's right.
All right. Is there sugar in those chewables, do you think, usually?
There's not usually sugar in the aspirin preparation.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, definitely worth, you know, if you're a human being, you should be going to the doctor at least every year for an annual checkup.
Right.
I mean, and I know young adults, myself included, when I was young, I didn't do that. But everybody do it because you're kind of covered by most health insurance now for
it. And constantly.
Ron,
it's really important to constantly have a dialogue with your doctor about the medications you're taking and if you need to do more to take care of your heart.
Yes. Well, great talking to you. How do we get more information about this?
You could certainly talk to your doctor or go to BayerAspirin.com.
Cool. I've heard of Bayer. Right. Hey, great talking to you, Doctor. Thanks so much for the information today.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye. All right. That'll do it. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show, another guest, more things coming out of my mouth that you care not to hear about. But for some reason, you're drawn into my gravity, aren't you? I'm hungry. I'm so hungry. I'm going to have something to eat. I'm going to have a sandwich. Want to join me? No, I don't want to either. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. Can I have a sandwich, please? No mayonnaise. Just mustard, please. Thank you. Where's my cell phone?